want to introduce you to this guy here, Gary Green. If you haven't met Gary yet, I want you to say hello to Gary right now. Hey, Gary. This is an incredible man. He has, in case you don't know my story with Gary, he produces some magnificent offspring. So I have the privilege and the honor to be married to his daughter Amanda, and she's just incredible, and she gets a lot of what she is and who she is from this guy here. And that could be a problem. So, but with no further ado, here's Gary.
Okay. Thank you, Josh.
I'll do scripture here
too. Okay. Before I start, when it comes to worship, I want to be able to worship in here like I can at home. without any abandonment, without any fear, last week, I had six services. I mentioned that this morning. Six services where I didn't have to do sound, didn't have to worry about it, didn't even think about it, and it was awesome. But I got to come up here and worship, and I'll tell you what, every time the Holy Spirit just moved and moved, and even tonight, here we were watching a video, and you just kind of allow yourself a little bit, I just kind of a little bit to be kind of, like I would at home maybe, to worship. I just wish we could all kind of do that some Sunday mornings, just let it go, and let God really, really move in us. It'd be awesome. I think it'd be super awesome. As you know, we're all going to Mexico this next week. I have 42 pages of notes here I'm going to share with you tonight. How about four, maybe four? In Mexico, there's going to be a variety of people, and I know there's not probably one of you in here that doesn't believe they can walk in ministering the gifts and walking in the supernatural. I just can't imagine. We're all here for that reason. But there's going to be, I think, a coming along. We got to kind of maybe have to bring them along a little bit. Some of them no, probably most of them yes. So what I'm doing is... these scriptures I'm going to give, and they're nothing new, of course, but they're probably somewhat old hat maybe to you. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be any. I'm not going to enlighten you in a new way, I don't think, not to play what I'm going to say down. But think of yourselves maybe as more like first-timers. I never heard this stuff before, because that's kind of what some of this is. These are the main reasons that I believe what I believe. In my mind, I have to have some kind of a logic. I have to build my thoughts, they have to get somewhere. It's hard to jump in the middle of something and try to understand it. It's like looking at a schematic at work when you're looking at right down at one little part of it, and I don't know what I'm looking at, but if I step back and see what the whole thing's about, I go, okay, I get it. To me, this is what this does. So, without further ado, let's just go to, all have your Bibles? Or wish you had them now? Huh? This is Genesis 1:1. I'm going to read, obviously, we don't need to read all these, but I'm just going to start reading some of them, and I'm going to talk through some of them. We're not going to read them all. So I do have several. Obviously, Genesis 1:1, we all know, but I'm going to read it anyway. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's it. So who's in the beginning? We're going to find that we know who he is, but we're going to have the scripture tell us who this person is. We know God did it, but we're going to go on further to John 1:1. And I'm going to hop around here through the scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and I know this is one of Timmy's too. Yes, it is. All right. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. That has been made. That's my kind of wording. Let me just say it all again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing that was made had been made. Well, obviously, that puts Jesus in the beginning. That puts Jesus in Genesis. Jesus is in John, so now he came to John. He's here in John. Let's go to Revelation. We're going to go to Revelation 19, 11 through 16. I always have to tell everybody keep their mic up to their mouth, but then I don't do it. I'll just read it and I'll go on. This is my first time going through this, by the way, so you're kind of my guinea pigs. Out of his mouth came a sharp sword, which to strike the nations, which was to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. I'm not in the right place, am I? I got to get my eyes focused here. Yeah, I'll get it. All right. Let's see. And unfortunately, I got my little Bible, Jim, and I can't see it real well. Oh, yeah, I can. Okay. All right. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges the nation and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on it that no one knows but even himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth came a sharp sword, which with to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And here's what I love. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know, from the beginning to the middle to the end, it's all about who he is. We've yet to see this part. It's like he was and is and he is to come. So those are the three main things to me, Jesus. This is about Jesus. The whole thing is about Jesus. Now, what part do we play in that? So let's go back to a scripture you're probably not even familiar with here, but it's Matthew 1, 21 to 23. I know you probably haven't heard this before either. Jesus enters the scene. Did that come out? She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him with the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So here now he comes and enters the scene. Jesus, God is with us. I'm just going to keep right on going here. Now, obviously, we know the next step for us really is the death and resurrection. So we're just going to go right to Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. If this sounds a little choppy, it is. That's because it is. Okay, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I have received, I passed on to you of the first importance, that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And after that, he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. I think that's as far as I went there, actually. So now we have the picture of Jesus. He's the death and his resurrection. Of course, everything we believe in is on the resurrection. So now we're going to go, since he has resurrected, what does that really mean? I guess I should say, what does it mean to you and me? It did happen, but what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do with that? Let's go to John 14, 16. And he has an answer for us there. John 14, 6. I'm sorry, John, Josh. 14, 6. Okay. And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know as my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Okay, I think that's where I ended that one too. So now we have a reason. Jesus is the reason. We have to go through him to him to get to the Father. Forgive me, folks. This is my first run around with my mouth open doing this. So we know that it is through Jesus. And John, don't go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, for God so loved me, he loved us, he loves each individual. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is our answer here now. He is the answer, and when we believe in him, we get to receive that gift that he's given us. In Acts 16:31, it was kind of a thing here where Paul and Silas were in jail, and they got their get out of free jail card. But they didn't get out; they stayed there, and the guard was all shook up. This is Acts 16:31. Okay, the guard was shook up because he thought, oh, he's in serious trouble. So he wanted to know what he was going to do. And he says here, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. So they kind of gave him an answer right then. What they had to do, they had to believe in Jesus to grasp this gift that was given to mankind. That's one of the things we have to do. In fact, that is really the thing. Of course, the word believe isn't just a mental thing. It's trust and adhere to. That's what it really means. So we have to trust and adhere to God, to Jesus. If we go to Acts 2:38, we have a similar situation where Peter gave his big long sermon, and in the end, the people went, "What do we do?" So Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So again, he's telling us what to do. Now we know what we have to do. To be in this relationship with Jesus, we know what we have to do. So here he came through time, he was born Mary, he died, he was resurrected. He gives us an end to this relationship. Now we have to believe in him and believe it was done. So we're doing that. We've done that. Okay, here we go now. So now once we're saved, here's kind of where I think we come to where we're at. Once we get saved, who are we? What do we really believe about ourselves? What do we really believe about this relationship? I know there's so much more to this relationship than what I'm going to go through, but this is the part to me is it relates to sonship. It gets us to the mindset that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And when we're sons and daughters of the King of Kings, our whole response to life and to this relationship and to how we interact with each other and to how we walk in these gifts that he's given us changes. Once we get that into our hearts and our minds of who we really, truly are. Let's go now to Acts 2:38-39. Now we get the good stuff coming up. Not that eternal life is not good. We all are going to live in eternity, just a matter of where we're going to live in eternity at. Okay, Acts 2:38. All right, is that the one, 38 and 39? Yes. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for those who are far off. That's us. That's who he's talking about, far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And I know that... That is nothing that we don't already believe. But I know, even in the church I grew up, that they didn't get that, because that wasn't for those who are far off. That died. A lot of that died back in the with the apostles. That gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. They did have the Holy Spirit, but they didn't believe in anything that had to do with the Holy Spirit's power. In Acts 1:8, Josh... And we know this too. This is nothing new to us, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's just another example. In John 14, or I take that back, in Mark 16, 15 through 18. Mark 16, 15 through 18. I'm sorry, I'm not giving anybody time to look this up, but it's up here, it doesn't matter. So here's some important words. There's the last thing Jesus said. He says, go to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, that's the word we all want to hear, right? And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well. Let me preface something here. When it comes to the signs, unless we're pointing people to Christ, the signs, hopefully we aren't hungering for signs. We're hungering for the reality of this relationship that truly does work, and God is who He says He is. And when we're out in the streets, and even in here, and when signs are active, and it's getting people's attention, that they're pointing to God. That's the key to this whole thing. It really has nothing to do with signs, but that's what is supposed to follow us. That is supposed to what is kind of our trademark. In John 14, 12, this is another awesome scripture here. It says, I'll tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He would do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Of course, He's going to the Father so we can receive the Holy Spirit. If He didn't go, then that wouldn't happen. Okay, and John, I think I might have. Yeah, no, I didn't. Okay. So, and John, let's go to John 1:12, Josh. The other part of this is in all of this, I mean, I heard all these things growing up. I knew all this stuff growing up. But I didn't believe this. I didn't really believe this. I struggle with that because I didn't understand the difference between just being saved and being adopted into God's family and being His child, being a son or being a daughter. I didn't get that. It says, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right to become children of God. That's more than just, He let them be children of God. He gave them a right. There's a right we have there. We can count on this. It's a right that we've been given. In Romans 8:17, it follows up with that. It's all through here. It's all through the scripture. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs. So he's just kind of making an analogy here. If we're children, we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Heirs, co-heirs with Jesus. So an heir gets to enjoy the benefits of what went on before. So I was an heir and recipient of some money. So I got to spend it. I got to use that. It's the same. We're co-heirs with Jesus. We're heirs of the benefits today, now. So we can walk in that. Is that the Acts? How about Acts 1:8? Then I'm gonna close here, Acts 1:8, with this. This is going to take about 35, 40 minutes in Mexico because we have translators. Okay. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and we kind of went through this, in Jumeria, and Samaria, Judea, Samaria, and all to the ends of the earth. The key here is here for me is you will be my witnesses. And when I am a witness of who God is and who he is, what he's all about, there's going to be something that's, I think, tangible that people are going to see and they're going to notice. And that is going to be walking in the supernatural. There's going to be things. People are tired of hearing talking. You know, it's always, you know, everywhere you just talk. Show me some stuff. When we were in Mexico, one woman said, who's got the juice? You know, she wanted to know who had the juice. And she was serious, but that was kind of a maybe, I don't know, maybe it was a term where they went to church, I don't know. But she went, came in the room and said, who had the juice? Well, you know, Carsumas went, ooh, juice, I don't know, the juice. Maybe he's got the juice. We all have the juice. You know, we all are carrying the juice. You know, we all have the Holy Spirit. We all can lay hands on you and say in the name of Jesus, be healed. We don't have to have big long prayers about that. You don't have to do any of that stuff. Because when the Holy Spirit's coming, I say this kind of jokingly, but you can almost go, bibbidi bobbidi boo in Jesus' name, you know, be healed. Now that's, don't get me in trouble saying that. But I think you can almost do that, you know, because it's in Jesus' name. We do these things in Jesus' name. You know, that's kind of where I'm heading with this. Like I say, unfortunately, it's the first time I got to speak it, so there's a lot of rough edges in it. And that's the way it goes. Anyway, gee, that's kind of it for me. So now you get to listen to Josh. That's good.
Thank you, Mr. Green.